carry.
Okay, moving right along. Committee motion number two as amended. To move 4.2.2.5, option 5, industry funding mechanisms to the considered and rejected portion of framework 48. This motion carried the committee 701.
Committee motion, no second required. I'm going to go to the audience for comments. Back to the council. Call the question. All those in favor? Fifteen. Opposed? Abstention? 15-0-0. The motion carries. Terry.
Committee motion to move to considered and rejected the option that would distribute additional ACE to sectors to fund monitoring costs. Carried 701.
That's a committee motion. No second required. Tom.
I think we already passed that idea in the motion we just passed. This is one of the motions that we tried to edit because of changes in the document since the committee saw it in August. And the motion, what we really want to do is take that piece that talks about distributing additional ACE and move it to considered and rejected. Where that is in the document has changed since the committee voted on it. So, you know, the motion 4.2.2.5, if you look in the version in front of you, there is no section there anymore. We had a little garble there, I think.
So that's a committee motion. Essentially what you're saying is we've already done what this would do.
Yes.
I'm going to ask, without objection, we would remove this from consideration. Okay. Terry?
Okay, Tom has provided a little bit of explanatory on the committee's motion on the minimum sizes, but for your reference, it's section 4.2.3, and the motion is to add an option to draft of framework 48, section 4.2.3, to change minimum sizes as shown in the last column in the table of the PDT report, which is below, rounded up to the nearest inch. And this carried the committee 8-0-2.
Committee motion, no second required. Excuse me, I'm going to go to the audience for any comments on this. Back to the council. Tom Dempsey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I definitely support this as an alternative, and I understand our intent here, but I think there's a lot of concerns that we need to address in terms of altering these minimum sizes with the state of some of these stocks. And there's a lot of things that we need to think through before our final action on this. So I support this as an alternative to consider and analyze. But some of these numbers strike me as hard to understand and potentially problematic at final action.
Further council discussion. Terry Alexander.
When I started 35 years ago in the business, I mean, those were probably normal numbers. We were towing 4-inch cod ends. It certainly would count the fish. So that would be my rationale for voting for it. So.
David Pierce and then Laura Rams.
Yeah, I sort of understand the logic for doing this. In principle, it sounds sensible. You reduce the amount of regulatory discard. You reduce the amount of waste. Of course, it assumes that fishermen are not going to change their behavior and target smaller fish, especially if there's a market for them. Just in theory, in principle, and my philosophy is grounds into the dirt with this. I just to support a 7.5-inch minimum size for blackback, for example, we may as well not even have minimum sizes. And frankly, you have to get the states to change the minimum sizes because no one's going to land their fish in Massachusetts if they think they're going to be landing fish that are 7 inches or so. It's just not going to happen. So this is going to make for a very interesting debate with individual states as to whether or not we will take off the books the minimum sizes we have fought so long to implement over the years to get the minimum size above the size for a stage of maturity. It just rubs me the wrong way. Again, I understand why it's being offered up, but I don't think it makes much sense, especially with the level of sea sampling coverage that we're going to have, the numbers of observers we will have at sea. The discarding will occur anyways, so I can't support this.
Laura Ranson.
I just want to voice support for the motion. If we looked at the numbers from yesterday where we caught 10% of our haddock allocated, whereas Canada was catching 90%, we have a large year class coming through on haddock that we're potentially going to leave in the water if we continue with the minimum sizes where they are. So given the situation that we're facing in a number of the fisheries, I think it would be important to adjust at least on haddock minimum size requirements so that we can take advantage of this year class as it comes through. Thank you.
Matt McKenzie.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I share misgivings about these reductions. The fishermen I've spoken to, while they have wished for some help in the next year, and that's something that I'm very concerned about, they don't like this option very much. They think this is going to run it into the ground. Thank you.
Vince Balzano.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll support this motion to be analyzed, but I have to question where some of these numbers came up with. And the one that really stands out to me is a 5.5-inch place. I've fished a long time, like Terry said, and I remember the 4.5-inch caught ends. I've never remembered saving a less than 6-inch flounder. Thank you.
Doug Grout.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have always been intrigued about this concept of maximum retention here, and I'm going to support this motion for analysis, but again, I look at some of the lower discard, the lower minimum sizes there. I'm surprised, even with our 6.5-inch mesh, that some of these fish are still being caught at that particular size. So I support it for analysis at this point.
Dave Gaetho.
Pretty much what Doug said. I consider this to be, you have to analyze something, but you don't have to adopt it. And if you analyze the and we want to call it least restrictive or most restrictive option, you can adjust it in the final motion. I mean, I certainly don't intend to support at a final action a number of these minimum sizes, but I do think that we could make adjustments in the minimum size, cut the discard rate substantially, convert catch to landings. But that revolves around maybe a couple of inches in round fish and an inch in flounders. It's not anywhere near these numbers. So I think we've said this at the committee over and over quite consistently. This is based on an analysis from the staff of what is actually the sizes retained on observed trips. This doesn't mean that we have to adopt this in the final action. I don't think this council probably will.
Anyone else on the council? I'll call the question. All those in favor? Four, 14 in favor. Opposed? Three opposed. Abstention. Motion carries 14-3-0. Terry.
Committee motion to include an option in Framework 48 that considers going to zero possession on George's Bank yellowtail flounder and not allocate the resource to sectors in fishing year 2013. Carried the committee 7-0-2.
Tom.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was here and during the Yellowtail Working Group and during our committee discussions, and I understand where this idea came from. It feels like a way to deal with a low ACL that we're sort of all recognizing is the main challenge in 2013. But I don't believe this is the way to go with Yellowtail. I don't think we actually can do this. And I find it hard to understand how with an allocated stock, we can take what is now an allocated stock that people have attached to their permits, percentages, and then effectively reallocate by saying everybody has exactly the same amount, zero, and we're all going to throw it over. If I had a yellowtail heavy permit, fish Georges Bank hard traditionally and have the catch history to go along with that, I'd feel pretty uneasy about effectively a reallocation in a framework, and I think that's what zero possession does here. I think moving to zero possession from an allocation represents a reallocation of fish stock. I think that's real problematic in a framework. Beyond the fact that I actually don't think that going to zero possession and simply throwing this over gets us below the number that we need to hit in terms of fishing mortality. I think it actually probably increases our likelihood that we'll exceed that number. I think we don't have to look too far to recognize examples where accountability, strict accountability, has led to different fishing practices and slower catch rates on constraining stocks and higher, less resolution, lower resolution accountability, if any accountability at all, has led to no change. We don't have to look that far for evidence to support that. So I don't support moving to zero possession. I think we've considered it, and I think it's I don't think it's frameworkable, to be honest, and I don't think it's the right way to move forward with Georges Bank Yellowtail.
I'm going to go to the audience for comment. Vito.
Vito Gigoloni, Northeast Seafood Coalition. We do not support this option. I don't think it does anything for accountability measures issues. I don't know how we would even implement one if we're going to accept a 500-ton. This is going to be a disaster to have. And I think going back to support the rationale that the SSC had for the 1150 was to remove the incentive. This does not remove the incentive to catch yellowtail. This basically gives you an incentive to go to the bank with no accountability and no concern at all. So as a fisherman, I can tell you I don't think this is the spirit that the SSC had at all. We need to have an accountability measure. We need to allocate the stock. The council member that just mentioned about the reallocation, that's absolutely true. This would be a reallocation in an amendment where you take people's value in their permits and throw it away. And I don't think that that's been discussed. Certainly our membership did discuss it, and they could not live with something like that. So these guys would have absolutely nothing if it goes to that. So again, we're against this motion. The zero possession component to it is something that we would consider in another motion that may come up. It's the not allocate the stock that is the part that we're most concerned with this motion.
Anyone else in the audience there? Ron?
Ron Smallwood's Fishery Survival Fund. There are problems with this motion, and in general, when you chose a catch share system, you chose a way to allocate the stock. But you still have technical measures available to you in your groundfish plan. That's what mesh size, minimum fish size, those are technical measures. They did away years ago in ICES using the term input and output controls because that refers to effort. But they use the term technical measures. You have advice from your SSC to make it a bycatch-only fishery. You can do that by technical measures. I suggested one yesterday, which was seasonal closures, which we're pushing for the scallop fishery, which is a bycatch fishery. That has a different approach with seasonal closures because it's our prime directive always is high catch per unit effort. When you look at a fishery that targets something, you don't want to automatically put in a measure that violates the prime directive of high catch per unit effort. But the recommendation you're getting from your SSC is to convert a targeted fishery to a bycatch fishery, which means you probably should allocate it. The numbers are going to be very low, so there's going to be an incentive not to target yellowtail. The question is whether you want to apply technical measures to assist. And for example, if you could identify an area that has very high catch of yellowtail relative to other species that might be targeted, you may want to analyze putting in a seasonal closure to that area because it might have benefits to the ground fishery as far as lowering the bycatch rates overall when it comes to going to the assumed bycatch rates, for example. So I don't know if you have that option available to you in the current amendment, but I certainly think that that's a tool you need to analyze, which is the technical measure of seasonal closures in the ground fishery.
Maggie.
Maggie Raymond, Associated Fisheries of Maine. We do have some evidence that if you look at the zero possession of Southern New England winter flounder, we do have some evidence that that does reduce incentive for people to target that fish and has reduced the fishing mortality on that stock. My concern about this motion is we've been hearing a lot over the past 2 days about how crappy the Georges Bank yellowtail flounder assessment is. And if we don't have catch information to feed into that assessment, how is that assessment going to get any better? If this motion advances, I hope that the analysis will talk about, you know, the impact that turning this into a discard fishery will have on the assessment. Thank you.
I couldn't see whose hand was up in the back row there. Okay. Rich, did you have?
Rich Canastra, I should be sitting in the front of the room. That's a long walk. But anyway, there's a lot of vessels in New Bedford, which we have the history of about 70% of the land is a yellowtail. As I said previously at council meetings, that a lot of the New Bedford boats that primarily have their history of yellowtail are tied to the docks, and they're leasing out their yellowtail quota because in their minds, their business plan, it makes more sense to stay at the docks and lease their quota out. But with the cuts that are coming, they're going to be needing $3 to $5 a pound just to make ends meet, which I think is quite ridiculous. But it gets down to the point again that when we allocated the fish, we went through history, and you were only a bad stock assessment away of going out of business if all your apples are yellowtail or Gulf of Maine cod, etc. But the thing is that these men depend on either to fish the product or to lease the product. And what this does is telling them that when we allocated the product, we went the yellowtails, and we went through history, it doesn't mean anything anymore. It doesn't mean anything more, and what you got allocated, it means nothing today. So if the goal of the council and the goal of NIMS and the goal of the industry is to put these guys out of business, because of yellowtail, and I'm talking about scallopers too. Yesterday I heard a remark saying, well, we can't do an emergency action because the scallop is doing so well and the price is so high. Now, who are you to say how a scalloper is doing? Some of these permits go for $5 million. Some went for $3 million. A 30% cut would hurt them. The yellowtails will hurt them. Yes, New Bedford was the number one port for the last 17 years, dollar-wise. That means nothing. Volume is what cures it. Volume means jobs. Dollar-wise doesn't mean anything. It's the volume. And you can see by taking the volume away from the industry what's creating today. So definitely not for this zero possession. It's almost like ready, fire, aim again. And again, what Ronnie just mentioned is that, well, if we can see where the yellowtails are and maybe do a closure, my suggestion is maybe do a survey in that area because that's where they live. Thanks.
Anyone else in the audience? Back to the council. Mary Beth.
Well, in similar programs in other parts of the country, PSC means prohibited species catch. So different, you know, same acronym, a different interpretation. And prohibited species in the Bering Sea are allocated, and they have value. So in the non-AFA groundfish fishery in the Bering Sea, the most limiting species prior to the implementation of their catch share plan was halibut. Halibut, you can't retain it, but it was the value that was out there that was the most important value. So I think that the angst about this particular motion, I certainly do hear it. We're not making the decision today if this is what we're going to do or not. But in light of the advice from the SSC, I think we need to move an option like this forward and look at the analysis and make a determination in November. The problem, however, with this particular motion is that it suggests that we also not allocate yellowtail. And as some members of the public have said, you know, we've already allocated, and now we're going to take it off the table, and it's going to have a significant impact to fishermen. I think we can consider a zero possession fishery for yellowtail, but leave the allocation on the table. It is done in other places. There is value to prohibited species or zero possession catch, and we should analyze it in that fashion. So I would make a motion to amend this motion that just take the word not out of the motion. So we would consider, we would have the analysis. We're not making our final decision today. We may decide we don't want to do this at all. But if we do, at least look at this alternative as zero possession, but allow the current allocations to go forward.
Is there a second? Dave Preble. Tom.
I guess I have a question with how this would function. If I'm reading this right, all that would change is that you wouldn't be able to land and sell the groundfish fishery, for instance. Sectors would be allocated there, Georges Bank yellowtail, they just wouldn't be able to land and sell that. So they'd have a quota for it, effectively. They'd have an assumed discard rate attributed to unobserved trips. It would be handled exactly in every other way, the way that we would handle all our other groundfish stocks, except they wouldn't be allowed to land it and sell it. Is that right?
Mary Beth.
Just to follow up, yes, that is right. And that is a strategy that's used in other fisheries. I'm not sure if it's the right strategy, but given the advice we have from the SSC, I think we need to consider it. And, you know, in the end, we might not choose this, but we're supposed to be thinking about ways to, you know, have no incentive to target yellowtail, right? So it's one option. I'm not sure if it's the right one, but it is one option. We should consider it.
I have Dave Preble.
I raised my hand before this. My comment doesn't relate to the motion to amend.
Tom Neese, I have a question for you. Have we tipped over the Christmas tree yet?
It's wobbling.
It's wobbling.
One more star.
Tom Dempsey.
Just with that clarification, I don't see what value there is simply in ensuring that groundfish guys who have every reason to avoid this stock as it is because they're personally accountable, their sector's accountable, their pound-for-pound allocation. And as one of the speakers said, a constraining stock, I mean, look what happened to maybe people who don't sort of keep tabs of the lease market understand, but where we are with white hake, you know, when you have a constraining stock that's caught in the pursuit of more abundant stocks, that lease price goes up. There's value to avoiding yellowtail. There will be more value to avoiding yellowtail, an economic incentive for every groundfish business that has yellowtail ace to avoid that to the extent that they can, not only to maximize their opportunities, but also as a lease revenue. If they can avoid it, they can sell it to somebody else who needs it. There is an economic incentive to do this. I don't see why we would simply mandate that when they did catch yellowtail, they'd have to throw it over and they wouldn't be able to land it and sell it. I just don't see the value here. I understand that we're trying to find as many opportunities or options as possible, but I don't actually think that we need to create an incentive on the groundfish side for people to avoid yellowtail. We have a tiny, almost, you know, as people have said, almost impossibly small allocation as it is. We have economic, real economic incentives to avoid it at the individual and sector levels and certainly at the fleet level. So I don't think this is needed. I don't support it.
Anyone else on the council? Peter Kendall and Dave Gaethel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I agree with what Tom says. I cannot support the motion to amend or the main motion. Thank you.
Dave Gaethel.
Same comment.
Anyone else on the council? Mark Gibson.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I agree pretty much with what Tom has said right along here. I just don't like either one of these. I don't think they provide the incentive for responsible fishing, and they're going to have unintended consequences relative to, we don't know where the stock assessment is going to go. We're committed to workshops and certainly improving it, but cutting off some of the catch stream, potentially inflating discards and killing more fish than we would under the meager allocation we already have. I just think it's fraught with a possibility for unintended consequences, so I don't support either one of them. Thank you.
Anyone else? I call the question. All those in favor of the motion?
The amendment?
Excuse me. The motion to amend. One. Opposed. Sixteen opposed. Leaves no abstentions. Motion fails. We're on back on the main motion. Further discussion. Dave Gaethel.
Yeah. Tom, do you have the chart in your computer that we had up at the Groundfish Committee with the 10-minute squares with the, you know, percentage of yellowtail catch?
I do. I'm not plugged into the screen right now.
Okay. Well, I think my suggestion here would be to vote this down and then request the committee come back with another alternative, and that alternative might be to close some of these yellowtail hotspots. We've got them identified by 10-minute square. They'd be relatively small closures, and that may be a better way to go forward. That would cease the directed fishery and get towards this goal of making it a bycatch fishery only. I don't see any other way out at this point.
Further council discussion? Call the question. All those in favor of the motion? Zero. Opposed? So motion fails. 0-17. At this point in time, we will take a 15-minute break, come back at 10 o'clock.